DR Congo led England 1-0, but then Harry Kane tied it in the 75th minute, and in the 86th minute, Kane was able again.
Harry Kane, still Harry Kane! Oh, my word! Majestic Harry Kane! Unbelievable! England lead 2-1!
That would be the final. The call on Fox. It'll be England against Mexico Sunday in the round of 16. NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers are acquiring center Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz for two unprotected first-round picks and two first-round pick swaps. The Lakers will be signing Kessler to a four-year, $130 million deal. Lakers also signed free agent guards Quentin Grimes and Colin Sexton, as well as free agent big man Sandro Mamukelashvili. Former New York Knicks center Mitchell Robinson has agreed to a three-year, $47 million deal with the Boston Celtics.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, in 2017, as dozens of wildfires ravaged California's wine country, UC Davis researcher Natalia Pinzone witnessed the devastation firsthand. The experience showed her the necessity of including farmers and ranchers in the state's wildfire preparedness and mitigation efforts, like reducing wildfire fuels, for example. Pinzone told Ag Alert during a disaster, what we need most for immediate response is integrated social networks and integrated communities that can leverage existing resources. Well, good news for beekeepers. The Honeybee Health Coalition has released the 9th edition of its Tools for Varroa Management Guide, providing the latest information on monitoring and controlling varroa mites, one of the leading causes of honeybee colony losses. Principal author Dewey Carone says the guide is dedicated to help improve overwintering success by providing information to flatten the varroa growth curve and reduce bee colony viral epidemics. And the Supreme Court ruled federal pesticide law limits certain state-based lawsuits alleging pesticide makers failed to warn users about health risks not recognized by federal regulators. The court sided with Monsanto in a case involving Roundup. The court found that the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act prevents states from imposing labeling requirements that differ from those imposed by the EPA. The ruling could have significant implications for future pesticide litigation.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks kicking off the new trading month and quarter mix, with the Dow on track for its 20th record close of the year, as investors digest comments from Fed Chair Kevin Warsh for clues about future interest rate moves. While speaking at a central bank conference in Portugal today, Warsh dodged questions about whether an interest rate hike is in the cards this month. The tech-heavy Nasdaq is lagging, with chip and memory stocks leading the tech sector lower after a blowout quarter. Shares of Meta are surging over 9% following a report that it might plan to build a cloud business to sell excess artificial intelligence computing capacity. Shares of both CoreWeave and Nebius are tumbling on the news. Meta has cloud computing agreements with both companies. And grocery giant Kroger has gone shopping and will be snapping up food and pharmacy retailer Giant Eagle in an over $1.6 billion deal. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even porky or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013, 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Sometimes the best way to get your idea across is to put it in a poem. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
The other day, a listener in Idaho Falls, Mr. Willis Nelson, a school superintendent, sent me his poem, The Superintendent's Dilemma. Here it is. Sometimes I sit and ponder long about my work and life and wonder why in school nowadays there's so much stress and strife. And then I realize the job is not like yesterday's. I'm simply flunky now for guys with the innovation craze. There's federal projects, grants and gifts, and piecemeal funding too. Leaves no time to teach the kids the things that I should do. I try to walk the tightrope betwixt the courts of law and not get tangled up with rights of junior, pa, and ma. Some will tell you this'll work, and others say it won't. The truth is, you'll get heck if you do, and twice heck if you don't. Operations in the schools must pass the acid test of OSHA, HU, and CLU, and all the pesky rest. There's civil rights and human rights and women's rights galore. I wonder what uncertainties the future holds in store. Boys and girls dress alike. You can't tell one from t'other. If you should need to know the sex, you'd have to ask its mother. In clothes and jobs and hair and such, you can't discriminate. It makes you wonder how a boy knows just which one to date. The high court judges see no diff between a her and him. Methinks their years are catching up. Their sight has grown too dim. Give me the good old-fashioned days when gals were gals, not men. For all that femininity, I've kind of get a yen. The liberals say don't frustrate the child with disciplined control. Just let him loose to do his thing and play his chosen role. But he'll waste time and life and limb and ruin others' lot and think he's having lots of fun on drugs and grass and pot. His right to freedom, speech, and work he'll take or leave at will, and little care for public folks who have to pay the bill. The federal help I get from Uncle, I just can't stand much more. With tax, red tape, and interest rates, I'm getting too dang poor. If you should try the federal way of deficits and debt, you'd find an IRS man looking down your neck. I'm somewhat like the school soup who tried without success to stem the tide of Fed control and all that meddling mess. They told him how to cook the lunch and how to run the school and threatened to withhold his funds if he should break the rule. He finally threw his hands up and said, I'm sick and tired of all this ruckus, do's and don'ts. I'll quit before I'm fired. And so he got a subsidized house with little rent to pay and lived on welfare's easy street, the socialistic way. The moral of this story is, if you can't buck the tide, crawl on the craft of easy life and take a leisure ride. When the public folks have had enough of... of all this liberal rot, they'll start to call a spade, and things will really pop. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today we're going to have Chuck Bell on the show. Sorry about that. We're going to have Chuck Bell on the show. He was trying to call in on my cell phone, so I just told him to call in on the call-in line. We're going to be going over the first 30 minutes of the show. We are going to be going over some of the things that happened during the latest election and some of the things that are there were some major issues with the latest election. And let me tell you one thing. For many of you who know, there are issues with I'm going to answer this call so I can get him to call in on the right number. Hey, Chuck. Why is this working? Chuck, you need to call in on the call-in line. I sent you a text. No, it's today. Okay, bye.
I'm not seeing any calls. I'm looking. I don't see.
There he was calling. We had a little mistake on this. He'll be calling in a moment. But for those that don't know, in our county, they say we had a huge turnout. Nearly 53% of voters returned ballots, which is huge for this type of an election, a primary in a governor, not presidential election. But in the end, they didn't count. About 3,300 ballots were never counted. These are people that voted and sent in their ballots. And as you know, many of the people recommend the mail-in ballots because they say, you know, more of the public will get a chance to vote, especially those people without IDs. Well, I wonder how many people that don't have a driver's license or an ID card. That means, you know, they can't get insurance. They can't get a number of things voted because of that. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. And
how are you?
I'm doing very good. Sorry about that. What I did is I had said Thursday and I had meant Wednesday, and he's graciously agreed to do the show today. Chuck Bell is an election attorney. He was one of the premier election attorneys in the state of California. I would say he's one of the top experts in elections in the state. He is no longer a practicing attorney. He is still very involved in elections and what's going on. And Chuck, what I started with telling them One of the things that I just found astonishing is all this push that some people may not have IDs, so we need mail-in ballots without IDs shown. And we ended up having 3,310 people that mailed in their ballots, and they weren't counted, according to the clerk recorder's office. There were 400 of them were rejected because of signature issues, or 405. And then 2,905, they say, were mailed on time but weren't received on time. Can you tell us a little bit about how we got here and what can be done to make this better?
Well, it's a complex problem. Partly it has to do with the Postal Service. Partly it has to do with the assumption that if they mailed it postmarked or under the new addition to the law with dated on the vote by mail envelope, the date of the election, whether or not it was postmarked that date, it does put quite a bit of pressure on the post office to get it done in time. They recommend that you mail before election day to deal with issues of postal delay. The post office has an seemingly an inconsistent practice of actually noting the date on which the mail center receives the ballot, so they can check that. But to be honest, I don't think we know exactly the reason why these ballots were not deemed to be timely received. There is a 7-day period, so it allows for 7 days at the post office. So I think we'd have to go back and look at individual ballots to see what the problem is, how they identified it. It's possible that in reviewing these, the election department noted what the particular problem was. That's not accessible by normal process anymore, unless you were to file for requesting a recount or something like that, or unless one of the public officials who can request updated information from the registrar were to do that. That can include the district attorney, or it can include the clerk doing an examination and perhaps self-examination and providing more information on the details.
So Dan Dow could request to know what ballots were returned?
Yes.
Or weren't counted?
There is a provision for that. I think, he has the legal right to do that, it probably would be advisable to get that in coordination with the clerk, who can do that on her own determination. So.
And there's a lot of people in the community that do not trust a clerk recorder, primarily because of her political, it's okay if you're Republican or Democrat, but in the past, we've had Democrats that did a great job, we've had Republicans that did a great job, but there weren't allegations that they were doing things, they were treating people differently by how they viewed them. For example, the Tribune can ask for numbers from the clerk recorder, and she gives them to them immediately. I asked for the same numbers. I used to, every other person that's held her office, I sent emails over, how many ballots have you received at this time? The Tribune and I were both doing that. The Tribune then the next day would write and say, this is how many ballots we received. And she'd write back with me, I'll get with you in 10 days. Well, it's too late, 10 days. They've already, the voting's over. And I can ask her questions, she doesn't even respond. So you have a clerk recorder who's very untransparent, doesn't respond, and has the worst. We were the slowest account in the state, and I don't know if we were the highest, but having a 3.47% of the ballots not counted that were cast is massively high.
It is in recent history because they made it fairly simple to comply with the voter signature requirements, which have been a persistent problem over the years. But late receipt is a common ground for not accepting vote by mail ballot. And again, as I said, the principle means, and let me correct that. At one time, I think the district attorney had the right to make a request, and I think that that has been modified in the law. So, but clearly, the registrar of voters herself could initiate that inquiry.
And under her, the cost of doing a in the past, people even did things like ballot counts just to look at these things. But when Darcia Stebbins did a ballot count, they refused to give her a lot of documentation. She didn't even answer questions or do things that she was required to do. She never paid her back the overcharges in the end. And it was $70,000 to $100,000 to have a recount. So it's real hard for someone from the public to say, this doesn't make sense. Let's take a look at it, when you have someone that doesn't believe she's accountable to the community in that regard.
Well, it is prohibitively expensive to do a voter-requested recount. Often, there's an interest in looking at things that aren't precisely, looking at the actual ballots and comparing the ballot count in a manual recount with the machine count. The machines tend to be pretty accurate. So looking at collateral material, which is a voter is entitled to do, is required if requested. But I believe during the recounts that Darcia Stebbins requested of both the primary in District 4 in 2022 and the general in District 2 in 2024 general election, the registrar of voters and county council basically stiff-armed the requester, who was more interested in the non-ballot information that related to things like absentee ballots, envelopes, specific questions about precinct rosters and actual internal information that the clerk may have maintained in conducting the election. So when you meet that kind of resistance, and there was an appellate court case on that very point, allowing recount requesters to look at collateral material, and actually the Secretary of State developed a very extensive list of what constituted that collateral material that could be looked at. I think there is a problem of resistance to that, and perhaps the clerk would be well advised to look at the grounds for disqualification of ballots and be a little more forthcoming about the detail of it.
And again, I don't know it's just stunning what happens in our county. I don't know if it's normal to be the last or one of the last to have a large amount of ballots to count. Now, the other weird thing is, and I want to ask you about this, a lot of the cities get all their ballots in and then give weeks for they get all the ballots counted, a lot of the counties, And then they give weeks for people to cure ballots and get things fixed. As soon as she counts the ballots, she closes the ability to cure ballots, which I also find very unusual that they do that in our county.
Well, this is the first election since the state law was changed to require that the vote-by-mail ballots received at least after Election Day, or ones that were received before but not counted on election night or the subsequent updates be completed. So there's a 13-day after the election deadline now. That was done, I think, in large part because some of the counties, especially San Luis, in the district, with respect to the District 2 supervisorial election, that was the biggest issue on that ballot, kind of stopped counting and didn't reveal all of the count until the very end when when the ballot was certified.
And I'm looking at it, and I don't know why she has to certify the day she stops counting. I went in and looked last week, and there were we were one of the few counties that had already counted everything and certified it, but a lot of them had counted, way more of them counted everything way before us, and they were still allowing people to cure their ballots. I don't understand why she wants to certify even though she's finished the count, immediately after finishing the count, and not let people come forward.
Well, I don't know how many ballots were left in the uncured state. It wasn't that many. But, again, we have to, pardon me, I'm need to take a glass of water.
Okay, get a glass of water, and I will... So we had some questions. Again, we were one of the slowest to count. We had one of the either the largest number or one of the largest number of percentage of ballots not counted. We also had a seriously high turnout. We had a nearly 53% turnout, which is very unusual for this type of election. And Chuck, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, one of the things I wanted to ask you, a lot of ballot harvesting, especially in the District 4 race, can you tell us a little bit about that and how you believe it impacted the election?
Well, there was a fairly low percentage of the ballots that were turned in prior to Election Day, vote-by-mail ballots. And the percentage that were received on or after Election Day to be counted was fairly high. So that was, by the way, a pattern that had occurred in the 2022 primary election too, at which Supervisor Paulding defeated former Supervisor Lynn Compton. So there is a pattern of that late receipt, and I think that the question remains what kind of ballot harvesting may have been conducted in this election as well as the previous one. Ballot harvesting is kind of a it's new. It's of concern to the public because anyone can go to someone's home and collect a ballot, and there are potential for coercion of ballots. But an active ballot harvesting effort that isn't coercive is certainly legal. And so the question is really what happened. Deliver a harvested ballot to an unmonitored drop box under the law. And so the source of the harvesting would not be known to the naked observer. So I think that that is a potential problem. Again, it may not be something that can be identified with any...
Chuck, we have about 10 seconds left. We got to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Chuck Bell discussing the election.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecued tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. I have a former attorney, Chuck Bell. He's an election expert in my eyes. And Chuck, I want to get to a couple of topics while I have you here. Can you tell us a little bit about the Supreme Court's mail-in ballot decision?
Yes, the U.S. Supreme Court 2 days ago basically held that states that allow for the post-election receipt of voted absentee ballots that are postmarked by Election Day were not in violation of the federal Constitution. The argument made by the proponents of the lawsuit was that federal law and the Constitution define the term election day. And in a previous decision, that meant that you couldn't have another election after the established federal election date for the election of President of the United States. The dispute was whether these post-election receipts that are fairly common now, including California, violated the Constitution. And the court said no. So essentially, it leaves the system that many people are concerned about, which is the principal cause of the late reporting of election returns, to go forward. The court did not find any constitutional problem with that process. Now, the case in question involved Mississippi, and they had a 5-day return rule. That's shorter than California's. It did not concern other procedures like ballot curing, which California has. That was not an issue in the case, and whether it presents its own problems remains to be seen, but I think most likely California's not going to be of the view of the majority in California legislature for sure that there's anything they need to change with their process.
What is, can you tell me what Prop 39 on the November voter, can you measure, can you tell us what that is?
Yes, Prop 39 is an initiative that was qualified that would require voter identification, photo voter identification, to be provided by persons who register to vote as well as persons who go to the polls to vote. It would also apply to absentee ballots that were submitted, that a procedure would have to be adopted by the legislature to deal with it, but essentially the voters' identification would have to be made at the time any absentee ballot was voted, as well as any time the voter went to the precinct to vote in person. So it will be on the ballot. Some of the provisions of it are at least likely to be viewed in the same way that the SAFE Act, which is sort of locked up in Congress right now, and is a subject of quite a bit of controversy there as to whether the Senate will act at all, or whether it can be adopted by a reconciliation bill that requires a majority, not a supermajority of 60 to pass. But this would be a big change in California election law as a voter integrity provision, which many people would like to see. Some people are dead set against it, but actually, the public polls show that there is widespread support for photo voter identification, across party lines, substantial majorities of 70% or more favor this. So it's going to be on the ballot in November, known as Proposition 39.
And we have a few minutes left. What is SB 73?
Well, SB 73 is a bill that the legislature adopted, and it was prompted by Chad Bianco, who was the sheriff of Riverside County, subpoenaing the election records for the Prop 50 election, and although he obtained a valid subpoena from a superior court there was a litigation which ensued almost immediately seeking to bar him from doing that. The litigation went to the state Supreme Court, which put a stay on the use of the voter material that he had obtained, and subsequently the state legislature passed a urgency bill to basically prevent officials other than election officials from obtaining this information. It posed some severe restrictions on it. So, for example, the
we have about a half a minute.
District attorney or a sheriff would not be able to do that. Interestingly, election officials could be represented by the attorney general in opposing any efforts to obtain election material.
And Chuck, we're at the end.
Official.
Thank you very much for calling in today.
You're welcome.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.